this time in Lent, I hope that we do feel that we are well and truly on the way home. And this gospel, known as the prodigal son, of course, is one that really brings that out its best. I have placed up on the screens there the very famous painting by Rembrandt called The Prodigal Son. And some of you may have in your life experience done a retreat around this particular painting. I'm not going to do that with you tonight, but I do remember very clearly years ago having a wonderful retreat master use this painting to emphasise forgiveness. And what Rembrandt does is he uses light so beautifully on what is or could potentially be quite a dark subject. And he highlights the characters in it through light. And if you look in the top right-hand corner, for those of you who've got your glasses on, you may actually see the face of a woman coming through the darkness there. Right up on the top right. Most people miss it altogether. Now, in the story, there are two sons. And I put these questions up there because I think they are fundamental religious questions that we ask ourselves during the course of our life. But the problem is that most people ask the second set of questions, the ones on the left, before they do the question on the right, what is God like? And we get caught up with our behaviour. We get caught up with the moral issues. Now, if we were to look at those questions in a religious sense, the first one, what is God like? Well, it probably leads to a more intellectual conversation, perhaps. And I'm trying to say today in this feast, with this beautiful story of the prodigal son, that it doesn't have to be an intellectual exercise to ask what is God like. When you have a painting like Rembrandt's prodigal son there, when you have a story there, this story explodes with the adjectives, if you like, of what is God like. And the first one is that there is no limit to the mercy and the forgiveness that he can show. There is no limit. Nothing can distance God from us except ourselves. But even then, he is there. We choose very often, with the left-hand side of questions, not to acknowledge his presence. And so our behaviour responds to that. And we tend to move back into the darkness. All of us experience that, particularly when it comes to the areas of forgiveness. And so the story and the painting, they both reflect that this forgiveness is highlighted, and you will all understand this, particularly in families. Families do it very, very tough when it comes to forgiveness, when pain has been experienced by things that are done inappropriately or things that are said that are hurtful. And in the story of the two sons today, we have a list of behaviour that we should never embark on. I'll start with the older son. He comes up and he says, I've been with you all this time, slaving away, and you've never done anything for me. And the boundless mercy that the father says, you could nearly feel him reaching out. He says to his son, he says, my son, you are with me always. And for those of you who are women, you need to hear these words tonight. My daughter, my son, you are with me always. Everything I have is yours. Boundless. Everything I have is yours. And that those words are said to us. So be reassured, be comforted. And I think we sometimes forget that because we concentrate so much on the younger son who asked for his inheritance. To ask for one's inheritance means that the person who they're inheriting from is dead. So it's a colourful way of saying, you're like, I wish you were dead, Dad, because that way I'd have my inheritance. Give it to me now. It's an awful thing. And isn't it, well, it's not funny, but it's not unusual that in families when hurt, for things are said and done, it's quite often around issues of perhaps inheritance, around issues of money, around issues of not marrying the right person. around issues of not going into the right career. And these things are said, and the hurt remains with us because we find it so difficult to forgive. Yet if you would just remember this picture, if not even the story behind it, the boundless mercy of the forgiving Father who simply loves the sinner. He knows his son's done wrong, but he still loves him anyway. That's very hard for us to do. We kind of like to put a bit of salt into the wound even sometimes, it seems to me. But in families, that pain can be so terrible. And I would hope that through the example of this boundless, merciful Father who just loves the sinner, that we can leave here tonight working, hopefully, on any of those areas in our life where we are putting salt into people's wounds, where we are causing pain by the things that we say or do, or the things that we don't say, or the things that we don't do, but we know we should. This is a real challenge at this time in Lent. If you could just remember that picture, the Father's hands, he's not interested in what the Son's done. He's just interested in having his Son back. That's all he's interested in. Doesn't want to go through the photo album and hear the stories. It is endless mercy that he's giving him. It's a beautiful thing, but it's probably so powerful that most of us think that I could never be forgiven. And particularly in families, if we hear ourselves saying, I'll never forgive her, or I'll never forgive him, that is a very, very deep wound. The Africans, I understand, have a saying that when two elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. I quite like that. I also like that in the context of what's going on between Russia and the Ukraine, because they are cousins. When two elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. And then we see all those horrible pictures that are coming across our screens constantly. So tonight, I just would commend to you this opportunity to examine your life in this time of Lent and just see what this merciful Father, what he would be looking for at the end of our life. And just to help you with that, I'm going to quote from Jill Penley. She's an author who wrote a very beautiful reflection years ago now about what's God going to say to us at the end of our life. And I'd like to just give it to you tonight in closing, and you may use this as a reflection in your own time. What's God going to say to us when we meet him face to face? God won't ask what kind of car we drove, but he'll ask us how many people did we drive who didn't have any transport at all. God won't ask the square footage of your house, but he'll ask how many people you welcomed into your home. God won't ask about the clothes you had in your closet, but he'll ask how many people did you help clothe. God won't ask what your highest salary was, but he will ask if you compromised your character to obtain that salary. God won't ask what your job title was, but he'll ask if you performed your job to the best of your ability and with honesty and integrity. God won't ask how many friends you had, but he'll ask how many people to whom you were a friend. God won't ask in what neighbourhood you lived, but he'll ask how you treated your neighbours. And finally, God won't ask about the colour of your skin, but he'll ask about the content of your character.